give you the whole scene, but you'll only need the edge.
Okay. I watched these again today. And, you know, honestly, I was not as thrilled with them the second time around. I feel like...
I don't even... Like, I know we recorded it, but I don't even... It's been so friggin' long, I don't even remember.
And I do remember, though.
Well, good, because you can remind me when we actually start getting into the thing.
The thing that I remember the most was I did not remember until the very end that there was a Transformer in Imperfect Storm. And then at the very end, you were like, is there anything else you want to say? And I'm like, there was a Transformer, and I completely forgot about it. You were like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And you didn't like steampunks. I remember that.
No, I didn't like it because I'm not a steampunk person.
I liked it. I just remember you didn't like it, and I couldn't figure out why.
Well, we're going to do it again, but...
I'm sure we will.
There's return policy. Okay, go over here. 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it. Like maybe building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist, or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain. It's over here. Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane. Idiot! As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall. Come on, Barry! So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Mom! Phineas and Ferb are making a title sequence!
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Alright, you ready?
Yeah, I was trying to remember, there was also another thing at the end of the episode. It was like, there was something that impressed upon me that I said at the end of the episode, and now I can't remember what it was.
Well, unfortunately, that episode is lost to the ravages of time and stupidity, I guess, because I've searched and searched and I've looked everywhere, and I can't find it. So, hello and welcome to episode 96 of Pauka. This is the 96th day of summer. This is the re-recording of the 96th day of summer. Only on the Geekcast Radio Network. This is the podcast organization without a cool acronym. I am, of course, THR and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Crow Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, but it's going.
Well, it stopped for me, man. I was passed out cold 20 minutes ago.
Same. I'm like, damn alarm. I love what I use as the alarm because it's... He's got a hot voice, but damn, not want to get up. Anyway, we are here to re-record this because, as I said a moment ago, it apparently went into the void, it went into the Nexus, the Vok have the original recording of episode 96 at this point, because I don't know where it is. I have no clue. So we are here to discuss, once again, Return Policy, Imperfect Storm, It's No Picnic, and Steampunk, even though I got those backwards as Steampunks, and then It's No Picnic. So, yeah, Michael, are you ready to get back to blah, 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 acronym?
Hold on, I'm waiting for my alarm to go off again.
Oh. No! No alarm noises, please. Oh, boy. So, first up, Return Policy. Annoyed at waiting in really long lines at the return counter, Doofenshmirtz invents a back-to-the-store-inator to send things back to the store, where they came. Meanwhile, Phineas and Ferb stage an extreme batting challenge their friends take place in, and Candace's obsession to bust coincides with her and Jeremy's visit to the extreme water park. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So, return policy. Good idea, Doof. It's not exactly evil. It's a good idea.
But isn't it, though?
Well,
what happens if you return something that you don't actually own? Does it go back to the store and you get the money for it? Because, I mean, granted, it's in pennies in your pants, but do you get the money for it?
Well, if you get the pennies in your pants, then yeah, you got, yeah, exactly. But the pennies in your pants is
does the owner get the pennies or do you get the pennies? Because, I mean, you can just shoot this randomly out the window. You could shoot this at a house and get, like, $250,000 of the pennies, you know?
No, no, trust
me.
My
pants are full.
Yes.
You get all the pennies. Your pants are so full.
That's right. Classic GCRN line. Ding, 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 ding. But, yeah, no, like, that's the only negative part about it.
It's not evil, or?
No, it's not evil. Well, I mean, that's not negative. That's a good thing that it's not evil. But the negative part is that he set it to return as if he set it to return as $10 bills or $20 bill. I graduated high school 25 years ago this year.
Okay.
Big joke back then was, all as I want for graduation is a duffel bag filled with 10s and 20s. All you gotta do, Doof, is change the dollar amount so you're not getting pennies in your pants.
Yeah.
And it would be fine, because he'd be rich.
You gotta move the decimal point over two places and you'll be set.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be fine. And it's not evil. Doofenshmirtz Able Incorporated!
Aha! Consider yourself marked down. Handy little shopping device, isn't it? Anyway, you're gonna love this segue, Perry the Platypus. All of my broken and aether parts were messing up the feng shui of my apartment. Thanks, Larry. It's my feng shui consultant. To keep my chi in balance, I came up with this. Behold! The Back to the Star Inator! Now, instead of waiting in those ridiculously long lines at the return counter, I scan each item, and presto, it's transported back to the store where I bought it.
Ow.
And here's the best part, Perry the Platypus. I get a cash refund deposited directly into my pockets. No banking necessary. The only flaw is that the refund comes in pennies. You know, sometimes I don't really think through the functionality of these things.
Unless you're using it for, unless you go to Mr. Wilson's house and point it at Dennis and send Dennis back to the store whence he came from. I don't know.
Dennis?
Yes.
Who's Dennis?
Dennis the Menace? Mr. Wilson? Hello?
Oh.
Anyway.
He might not have been referring to me.
No, I was not. I was referring to Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace when Dennis is always giving
Mr. Dennis Wilson in my house?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could aim Dennis him at Gavin. Send him back to Drupal.
He wants to send his own kids back to the store whence they came, folks. Wow.
He'd show up somewhere in a hospital nearby. It wouldn't be that far away.
No. No. That's perfect.
That would be evil.
You can return him. Russelstein.
How much would I get for him? I mean, honestly, it's pennies on the dollar. It's not even a fair value.
I wish I had a dollar, and I wish I had a penny so I could take a photo for this episode post. Pennies on the dollar. I like this episode. I think I like the Doof stuff more than the kids stuff. The batting challenge was okay. It was nice that finally Baljeet and Buford realized that they have to team up and be friends and work together to get the goal accomplished, because Buford's brawn isn't going to fully get it, and Baljeet's brains isn't going to fully get it, but if you combine their, like good old Captain Planet said in 1990, let your powers combine and work together as a team, that works. But yeah, return policy for me is all about Dr. Doofenshmirtz. It has nothing to do with the kids.
Actually, there were two kids' stories in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot going on in 11 minutes, 12 minutes here.
Yeah, that's right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, we technically have an A, B, and C story. The A story is Doof and his stuff. The B story is Phineas and the batting challenge.
Yeah.
And then the C story is Candace and Jeremy and the water park and Candace getting in trouble with Mom because she's at the water park when she's supposed to be at home putting something away or doing something. I forget off the top of my head. But
yeah,
I like the structure of it. I like that there are three separate stories, almost right. Like vignettes. Like this episode feels like a Looney Tunes episode where you got Roadrunner and Coyote in one section, you got Bugs and Daffy in the other, and you got either Foghorn Leghorn and Henry Hawk, or you got Daffy Duck and Porky Pig or something in the third thing. So I like that. I like the structure.
Yeah, yeah. No, and again, you know, the way the different stories dovetail was kind of nice. But the fact that they managed to get three stories here.
Yeah, absolutely. So if I was an evil scientist, I would be skinning that platypus alive for shooting his flat screen TV back to the store.
I know.
Worked my ass off for that. Evil science or not.
his ex-wife worked for that. I mean, let's be honest.
Okay, well, but.
But, and that being said, you know, again, you know, if you had such a thing that would turn return items, would yes. return items to the store and give you pennies, you could get stock in Coinstar and just make bank. Yeah. Be like, somebody in the tri-state area is using an inordinate amount of Coinstar currency, and it's like, that's right, I single-handedly drove the stock of that company up. And exactly, you'd make a 10% profit right there on top of. well, how much does Coinstar take when you dump
points? I honestly don't remember anymore. It's been a while since I
take 10%, because maybe that extra profit from the stock would just offset your loss. I'm not entirely sure. What if you returned all of your pennies into the Coinstar and then zapped the Coinstar? Would you get the amount of money? What would you get?
Okay. Stop. All right. So I entered into Google search.
Yeah.
Coinstar fee. And according to their artificial bullshit intelligence that they have, Coinstar charges a fee.
It has artificial intelligence?
The first thing that pops up for a result of an answer is AI overview in the Google search bar for the results here. So according to the artificial fake-ass intelligence, Coinstar charges a fee to exchange coins for cash or e-gift cards.
Yeah.
For cash, Coinstar charges a service fee of up to 12.9% plus a 59-cent transaction fee.
Fees may vary robbery.
By location. Exactly. But if you want to get an e-gift card, Coinstar offers free coin counting if you exchange your coins for an e-gift card with a 0% fee. However, e-gift card fees vary by brand and retailer. The minimum amount for an e-gift card is $15, and the maximum is $200. So if you bring in $200 worth of pennies, you can get a $200 gift card to Chili's or Applebee's or Best Buy or Circuit City or Menards. So
you've pre-spent that money at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
okay. Well, I know I'm going to Home Depot. I might as well.
But yes, for cash, to get cash out of your coins, it's a service fee of up to 12.9%. So it's not 12.9% directly. It adds up. And then there's the 59-cent transactional fee. And I'm just like, I am so glad all of my money is online through PayPal or Venmo or my bank or whatever. I do not deal in cash and coin anymore. I haven't. In a long ass time, if I don't have to. The only time I have to is if I have to write my dad a check, or if I have to, unfortunately, try to take an Uber to get to a damn ATM to have my dad, get stuff for my dad, because he doesn't do the online banking stuff. But if I don't have to use cash or coins, I definitely don't. Everything is online.
have the Zelle now. It's like bank to bank. Yeah.
Yep.
That's how we do it. I don't carry cash. I don't think I've had change in my pocket in 15 years at least, right?
Okay, so and this is a funny side note, folks, because we do this all the time. We've been doing this for 15, 16, 17 years, the two of us, and we always get off into tangents, but this makes sense here. It does.
You're so deep in the rabbit hole. I'm so sorry.
No, hey. It's tying into return policy because of the coins and the chain. Like, I'm glad his legs didn't go back to the store. His pants did. Luckily, his legs didn't. Because, damn, Perry shot him with the innator, and it hit his pants.
Right in the crotch.
Fell. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, buddy. Like,
you could have had something else more important returned, right?
Oh, boy.
Aw, man, not my new flat screen. Hey, no way. I paid way more for that TV.
So the thing is, what was I going to say?
My implants.
Oh, God. Yeah. What the hell was I going to say? I don't even remember now.
So sorry.
Zelle. Yeah.
But we have circled back successfully. Good job.
Yeah. Yes. We circled back successfully, but I don't
remember. We didn't even mention the Hawkmo. That's a thing.
Oh, God.
That's what the kids are calling it now.
Mm. So I just... This will be...
Hawkmo.
No. Oh my God.
Hawkmo. It's not a.
You're the one friend of mine who has embraced
this
Generation Z, Generation Z, Generation Alpha
Alpha? This is the opposite of Sigma. This is not a Sigma Hawkmo. This is a Skibbity Hawkmo, in fact.
Get that skibbity shit out of here.
This is a Hawkmo from the Ohio variety.
Oh my God. I don't know. Something about returning the stuff or whatever.
Return stuff. It's an awful lot of conversation for 3 minutes worth of screen time, to be honest.
Yes, well. You know, honestly, it was the most out of the three things. Like, Candace and Jeremy at the water park, yeah, sure, fine, that's fun. Buford and Baljeet finally realizing if they work together and be a team and just be friends instead of being frenemies. Uh-huh. Okay, fine, good. I like it, it's fine, it's good, but...
But the best part?
The star of this episode is Doof. And Perry and pants with all the pennies.
I beg to differ.
Oh, boy.
The star of this episode is Isabella completely losing her cool. Like, everyone must die in the pit. Pit is here for death. And Phineas is like, no, everyone's going to live today. And she's like, one survives, all others die. Yeah, go, girl.
Welcome, sports fans. We have a great game for you today. The game is simple. Each level is worth 10 points. The higher the level, the harder it gets. The first one to hit the target at the top wins.
It's survival of the fittest. A test of wills. Only one contestant will survive.
No. Everyone will survive.
You're going down, Dweeb.
I will beat you. It is a mathematical certainty.
It's extreme. It's extreme.
I don't know how extreme it is. It's... You know, big, but it is still just a batting cage. Let's not oversell it.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
No, they don't have engines.
Go, girl. She was, like, plotting severe death here. She had a body count in mind.
Yep.
Oh, it looks like this game could go into sudden death!
It could just be a tie.
No, sudden death!
That was awesome. You know, as long as we're, like, ranking things, you get one extra point for the fart joke at the end, because I am all about the body humor.
Yep.
Bodily humor makes me giggle, and there was a fart joke.
Yep. It's just a natural humanly bodily function, Jeremy.
It's a bodily function. It's natural.
What? I thought it was cute. I didn't say anything.
It wasn't even a cute fart. It was like... He's like, oh my God, I just wet myself. Ah. But Yeah, he thought it was cute. I didn't think it was cute. I thought it was horrible. She totally beefed. Not even in a cute way. You know who beefs cute? Isabella beefs cute. She should have, like...
No.
She would have ripped one right there in the announcer's booth. And Phineas would have been like, oh my god! It smells like lavender. That being said, how did you feel about this episode? Sounds like a 4 coming out of you.
Yeah.
Sounds like a 4.
Most likely.
Again, 3 different storylines, expertly woven. They had a fart joke. They had Isabella losing her collective cool. And I have to give it a 4.
4 is all around. All right, folks. We're going to get some imperfect weather coming up next, right after this.
Hi, Mom. Stacy and I are going to have lunch here at the mall, so we'll be hanging out a little longer.
I thought you probably would.
Are the boys doing anything bustable yet?
Not yet, although they are trying to figure out how they can both use the push broom at the same time.
Okay, keep me posted.
Hey, Mom, we're going down to the park to fly our kites.
You guys want a ride or something?
I thought you had to meet with those landscaper guys.
Oh, right, I forgot. Dubois Landscape Artists.
Dubois Landscape Artists.
Also, that's yesterday's paper.
I thought the city council was getting a little redundant.
All right. Imperfect Storm. Phineas and Ferb create a wind amplification device. Doofenshmirtz plans revenge on his childhood foe, Grulinda, by using his Sauginator to rain on her garden tea party. Meanwhile, Mom's backyard makeover gives Candace hope that her dream of busting her brothers will actually happen. Dun, dun, dun.
And on.
This one,
How do you feel about modern art? Not a fan? Not something that,
modern art, what would be considered modern art? Like, I don't even know. Like, I'm too busy remembering Picasso and nailing his leftovers.
Yeah. It's like, imagine like a pedestal with a banana on it, and you're like, this is art to someone. I mean, yeah, that type.
I mean, he did create the minions, so, you know, if there's a banana there, there's going to be a minion somewhere.
Banana!
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 I love those movies. Anyway.
They are entertaining. He swears up and down, he did not do that thing.
No, he did not do that thing.
Did not do that thing. Dan Poppenmeyer says, I did not create the minions. I don't know. I'm not sure how he would have been accused of creating the minions. I've seen him do some minion-adjacent type things, but...
Yeah, it was a misunderstanding. And I've never heard of this person, but his friend, Carolyn Dunton, apparently, I'm going to have to look her up at some point, maybe during the ad break of this podcast when we're not... having things on air, I will look her up at the end.
Don't ignore me while you go read the wiki, because I hate that.
Funny. Funny guy.
Here I am, like, carrying on a dialogue by myself. It's like a monologue, and you're like, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
Yep, hold on. Yep.
Did you read? Hold on, I have to go research this real quick.
Mm-hmm, that's right. I don't know. This one is not as... I don't know. It's not as entertaining as Return Policy was.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, the contraption that the boys make is not as cool as, a giant pinball machine that you throw baseballs through.
Yeah.
Or a water park. Because there were 2 inventions in the last episode. I mean, they doubled up on the inventions.
Yep.
And here you've just got, it's like a cornucopia that blows wind and occasional tsunamis.
And luckily they can use their, quite literally, their super fan what's his name?
Oh, Irving?
God, what's his? Yes, thank you.
Oh my Irving. God, Irving the super fan provided the wind for the super fan.
That's right.
No meta. I did not see that. Clever.
Anytime he gets a chance to do something,
yeah.
Like he's so giddy that he gets to do anything with Phineas and Ferb.
Well, it was funny because he's like, I thought ahead and I've eaten mint, so my breath is nice. And Isabel's like, that's very thoughtful. And he's like, I didn't do it for you.
Yeah, I did it for that. Yeah, yeah. He's got that obsession there with Phineas and Ferb.
Isabella-like obsession.
Phineas. Yeah, exactly. But, holding grudges. Oh, boy.
It all started when I was a child back in Drusselstein. There was this mean girl named Grulinda. Every day she would pour water on my head. No matter where I was or what I was doing. Stop throwing water on me!
For 30 years? How old is he? 40?
I don't know.
But by some wonderful twist of fate, she has moved here to Danville, see? Grulinda Boobumware moves to Danville, party being held in her honor at Danville Park. And the party just started. I don't know how they got this picture in the magazine so quick. I guess they're trying to compete with the internet. But I digress. I can finally have my revenge with this! The Sorgonator! Now, I will fly over her party and douse her with a lifetime of soggy humiliation! What? Oh, you think that it's petty that I've held onto this grudge for so long? Well, it's not petty. It's not. It's evil or something. It's not petty!
Heinz, we were in elementary school. It was to show you that I liked you. Oh, okay. And then he confuses her. He thinks Grulinda is the, again, standards of beauty here, folks. I'm going to use air quotes. The quote-unquote, not exactly knockout, drop-dead gorgeous lady. You know, she's like, Grulinda's over there. And Grulinda turns out to be this knockout, drop-dead, blah, blah, blah. And Grulinda's like, oh, Heinz, you've been holding on to this grudge for 30 years. Like, get over it already.
See, the thing is, though, I don't think that the ugly woman, let's call her, was ugly in the sense that, you know, he's like, oh, you're ugly. It's she was just mean. She's credited as being, quote, mean woman. She didn't have a name. She was just the mean woman. But again, you know, celebrity guest voicing. We have Elizabeth Banks as Grulinda, who is unrecognizable here in her Drusselsteinian accent, right?
Yep.
And Leah Remini.
Yeah, Remini.
Remini?
Whatever.
Remini?
I know, whatever. It doesn't matter. The tomato. The chick from King of Queens.
She had one line.
Yep. Grulinda's over there.
I think she said so. All she said, she said, Grulinda's over there, and then she said, he wanted to dump water on you. And I wouldn't have been able to pull Leah Remini out from that. I mean, I liked hearing celebrity voice cameos. You know, that's, I love it. Didn't catch either one of these. And the other one I didn't catch was Simon Pegg.
Oh, yeah.
Simon Pegg.
Yeah, as Pierre.
Yeah, Simon Pegg was the artiste.
Yes.
Did not catch that. And I, I like Simon Pegg, and I didn't hear it.
He was, I think, recently, maybe I'm lying about this, but he was recently on Michael Rosenbaum's Inside of You podcast.
Okay.
What it's called, I don't know. Don't ask me why people name their podcast what they name their podcast. I don't know.
That is really weird.
But the point is that Simon, he had Simon on recently because of the fact that Mission 7's out on whatever. Maybe he just had him on to interview. Anyway, I keep seeing all these celebrity clips about various people and things, and I'm just like, oh, that's very cool. And I love Simon Pegg. I think he's an awesome dude. I think he's a great actor, and he's got, I mean, between Benji and for Mission and Montgomery Scott in the Kelvin universe, he was in Ready Player One.
He's Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, okay.
He's got a cricket bat and he beats zombies up. I mean, that's the classic. They actually had Shaun in Phineas and Ferb at one point.
Yeah. He had a cricket bat, did he?
He did. I believe it was a cricket bat, yeah. One of them,
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying, cricket, you gotta know what a crumpet is to understand cricket.
Tell me you didn't pay for that Jose Canseco bat.
Oh, that's right, exactly. Class is paying 101. Your instructor is Casey Jones.
Casey Jones.
That's right. Good old Casey. But no, Imperfect Storm, it wasn't bad. I'm not going to give it like a super low grade, but it's not like 4 territory to me. It's more...
No.
It's more 3.5 or 3. It's more middle ground. I'm going to give it a 3.
Really? I mean, yeah. Honestly, a 3 is, I think, is about more than it deserves.
So you're going to give it less? You're going to give it a 2 or 2.5?
I don't know. You know what I thought was really clever, though, was the Dubois.
Yeah.
It's not Dubois, it's Dubois.
It's Dubois. Yeah.
Dubois. It's just like it's spelled, Dubois. Yeah. And, you know, when Candace calls and, you know, she's talking to her mom and her mom's like, I'm so mad at Dubois. And
yeah.
She's all giddy with excitement, like, yee. I get to go home and see them get busted. And, you know, when she gets home, we have kind of the reversal here where the mom comes outside and sees that everything is gone.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
She's like, stop mocking me, mother. Stop making a mockery of my life.
My clown to you?
Exactly. Am I wearing clown makeup today? No.
Okay, so the one thing that I wanted to mention that I forgot last time was that there is a Transformer in this episode.
Yeah.
We completely forgot that the whole reason that there's a windy blowy machine is that they were riding giant kites. They were flying their kites in the park. And
right.
They all got in their flying kites. And one was a pirate ship, which was kind of neat. One was a giant dragon, and then one was a robot that then turned into a car.
Turned into a car. Yeah. It's...
Usually, if anything, that'll buy you a 3 right there, just by having a Transformer.
Now, I'm not usually the one that does this, folks. He's usually the one that does this to me. That's a stretch to me. Yes, it transformed from robot to car. But it was like transforming into a copy of Mom's car. It wasn't like... Because I don't think at this point in the Disney Channel history, when did this originally air? August 1st, 2014. Yeah, Disney and Hasbro were not working together. And they're not working together 10 years later now in 2024 either.
This is before Disney bought Hasbro.
Hey, that could happen. Don't joke. You never know.
I can imagine it. They make their own toys for free? Oh, yeah, they totally do that.
I don't want to imagine it. Hell no.
Because that is a huge branch of the Disney empire. It's like Marvel and Star Wars and anything Disney cartoon related, right? I mean, they've all got toys. And to think they could have all of that developed in-house. And they would have direct access to the Transformers.
But the sad thing is, in current day, folks, Hasbro is licensing out and moving out of... Like, they're sending their scraps to Playmates to have Playmates make their toys. Because they're taking their headquarters. Yeah, you haven't heard this? Yeah.
I have not heard this.
Yeah. Hasbro is sending some stuff to Playmates to have Playmates make the stuff. And Hasbro is going to be moving between now and next year. They're going to be moving their Rhode Island headquarters to Boston. Okay, look here, folks. I grew up in Boston. I know how much it costs to live in Massachusetts. I know all of the costs up there. Rhode Island and Massachusetts are not exactly that dissimilar to each other as far as cost. But, I don't know what Hasbro's doing these days. They'd be crazy.
Wow. I actually visited their Rhode Island headquarters once, and it was enlightening.
Very cool. Yeah.
I have been to Boston once, too, and I wasn't all that thrilled.
Yeah.
As far as like New England cities go, it's not my favorite.
Teach their own. Anything else on Imperfect Storm here?
I'm trying to think. I think there was. And it slips my mind, but I'm sure we'll remember it later.
All right. What are you going to rate this?
Probably give it a 3.
All right. So double threes. All right. Moving on, ladies and gentlemen, we have Steampunks UNX.
What have we got so far?
I've got a bottle cap and a brass nail.
2 bottle caps and a nail.
A washer, a hinge, and a nail.
I've got a nickel and a piece of brass. No, wait, it's a nail.
You never know what you're going to find.
I do. Another nail.
Or a bottle cap.
Hi, Phineas. What you doing?
We're looking for stuff with Dad's steam-powered metal detector.
Wow, an antique that locates other antiques.
Oh, we've got another one.
Cool, let me dig it up.
Oh, there's a good one.
Wait, it's not a nail, it's a coin.
Well, let's have a look then. Oh yes, I've seen this before. It's a commemorative coin from the 1903 Danville World's Fair. Many steam-driven devices were introduced to the world back then. It must have been quite an event.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
The boys. When Phineas and Ferb discover a commemorative coin from 1903 Danville World's Fair, Lawrence recounts events of the festival to them in which steam-driven devices were introduced and a set of kids who were very much like them were preparing for the highly anticipated event. Meanwhile, the kids' pet swan must stop Professor von Doofenshmirtz from destroying the fair. Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
So as of this recording, I've done another episode of Studio 2009, and my buddy Dave and I, we just started our Columbo series that we're going to be doing, and we're going in order every episode of, yep.
From the 70s?
1968, Prescription Murder was the very first one. Yep. So we started this, and in one of the, we recorded the first two. We recorded Prescription Murder and Ransom for a Dead Man. I forget which one, but there was someone in that cast named Richard O'Brien. And as we all know, that's the interesting part about it is
it,
that
so it wasn't Ritz. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was the same name, spelled the same way, O'Brien, O-B-R-E-I-N, and I literally had to look it up, and I looked the guy up, and I'm like, huh,
yeah,
interesting, because...
He would have been in England at the time, I think, you know?
Well, he was Ritz O'Brien, Richard Timothy Smith is his birth name, apparently.
Really? Okay.
That, according to this, his birth date is March. March 25th, 1942. He is 82 years old currently. Yes, Ritz O'Brien is still alive. But here's the thing: I saw the name in this Columbo episode. I'm like, wait, what? But that dude died in like 1970 something or 80 something, and I was, oh no, he died in 1983. That's what it was. And I'm like, okay, well, that can't be the one that I know as the voice of Dad in Phineas and Ferb, because it's a... But again, we were doing this podcast, we're talking about Columbo, we're talking about this episode, and I just recognized the name of how it was spelled. I'm like, wait a minute.
Is that guy?
Yeah, is that that guy? And I'm like... Because I say in the episode to my buddy Dave, I said, Dave, there's no way that this is the same person, because the Ritz O'Brien I know is still alive, because he like literally, if he died in 1983, there's no way to have voiced Dad.
Yeah,
I forget.
That is
what.
A fairly valid proof of life.
Yeah, exactly. So,
being a voice actor in a cartoon, yes. But I didn't know Ritz was 83?
Yeah, 82, 83, something like that. Yeah.
Wow. I know. Yep. Don't take him. Don't take him.
No. We're almost at the end of 2024. No more taking of people. Exactly.
We almost to the end. Oh yeah, I guess we are. It's November, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
We are practically through the home stretch, and it's only going to get worse from here. So,
Lord, don't say that.
You think 24 was bad? Just wait.
You're cursing us already. Like,
I see it coming. So anyway, I liked this episode because I'm a big fan of turn of the century type stories and steampunk. Steampunk stories. Now, I want to say the last time that we talked, I actually looked this up on the internet. It was the Chicago World's Fair.
Yep.
And I want to say the Chicago World's Fair was in 1910, perhaps. And you looked it up, and you actually knew where the 1903 World's Fair was actually located, and it wasn't Danville.
No, it wasn't Danville.
It's not Danville. I'm sure you're looking it up now, so I will monologue for a bit. But I'm a huge fan of the Chicago World's Fair, and the fact that they literally built like a city on the lakeshore, the Michigan lakeshore in Chicago, and they built these huge white structures. It was the White City, and only one of them survived. And that building became the Museum of Science and Industry in Hyde Park. And
I go there when I lived in Chicago, but I never did.
Oh, it's fantastic! Oh, we used to take the kids. It's an amazing, amazing museum, and it's positioned behind it. You know, there's a pond. And that pond used to be attached to a canal that took you all the way over to Washington Park, and that canal now is dried up, but it forms the plaisance that goes right through the University of Chicago.
So, according to my information here, it's now called the World's Columbian Exposition. Which is a dumb name in my personal opinion, but it's originally ran May 5th to October 31st, 1893, for the World Fair held in 33 and 34, see Century of Progress. So
remember, back in the day, Columbia meant essentially patriotic.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean it's not seen the same way now, but so when they say something's Columbian, they mean it's very American.
Yeah.
American progress.
Yeah, I just think of the half-naked lady standing there with her torch for the, the film company, Columbia Pictures.
Actually, there's a big half-naked golden statue.
I'm sure there is.
In Chicago, in Hyde Park, I want to say it's not the original, but it was the smaller version. It was the smaller prototype that was left after the World's Fair. It is a I might be the only one that finds it interesting. But regardless, I mean the really neat things at the time were like electric lights, and it wasn't so much steampunk. But this episode highlights, all things steampunk, and it was funny to me how much the contraptions, the steam-powered contraptions, right, they all resembled, artistically, let's say, they resembled Dr. Seuss. Yeah, like Dr. Seuss illustrations from, like, The Cat in the Hat and, to a certain extent, The Grinch That Stole Christmas. If you go back to those books, the original illustrations that he did, It looked very much like that. And I'm not sure if that was the design choice here. It doesn't say anywhere, and I'm really surprised it's not somewhere in the wiki, because they tend to stretch sometimes. Like, we're gonna reference Dr. Seuss because of the way that the contraptions looked.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cool. I liked Norman with a P, pneumatic Norman. Yeah.
That pneumatic norm. Yeah.
He was part train. And he was horribly misprogrammed because he probably ran on punch cards and steam, kept saying the wrong things. And Oh, Swery. Swery the Swan.
Oh my god, I just pulled up that art. Like, oh god.
The foul mouthed Swery the Swan. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, like, you kiss your mother swan with that beak or whatever it was, and I'm like, oh like, my god.
Like the most foul mouthed character in all of of Disney is technically R2-D2. Because they bleep out everything he says. And now we have Swery the Swan. And you know, they can't even show what he's saying. There's no...
There's no captions for
what he's saying. There's no closed captions for what he's saying. That's right, because it's so terrible. It's a children's show, and they can't let you see what he's saying. But you can imagine. I mean,
Dan and Swampy are more wholesome than some of the other Disney people. I mean, they make jokes. Well, I'm serious. You can't say the swear things. You can't do this, but yet you can have a phallic looking castle on a poster in 1989, or you can have stepmothers poisoning daughters with a spindle, prindle, prick of the thing, and fairy godmother this and fairy godmother that, or how about don't even get me started on the poison apple. Right, where was her father? Where was Snow White's father? That's what I want. Oh right, the stepmother probably killed him with a poison apple.
That's not Disney without parental death. So yeah, no, he's probably dead. True.
Yeah, he's probably dead. Good old Swery the Swan.
Swery the Swan. That's right. You know, you eat corn with that mouth.
Exactly.
I was shaking my head like, what does that even mean? You know, I think the traditional is, you kiss your mother with that mouth. You know?
Yeah.
You're so foul and you kiss your mother with that mouth. It's just Swery the Swan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But between Swery and von Doofenshmirtz and the farmer and his wife, because a farmer's wife is angry at the farmer for creating a doll in the shape of a bear. These bears, named after then-President Theodore Roosevelt, made their debut at the Toy Fair in November 1903. The farmer's bear actually has a Roosevelt face.
He has the glasses. That doesn't necessarily mean...
Well,
he has his face. I didn't get Roosevelt's face out of that.
I'm just reading off of the wiki here. I'm just saying the farmer and his wife are in this episode.
It's hilarious. Do you know why Theodore Roosevelt was called Teddy? Or rather, Teddy is short for Theodore, but the reason why he was associated with bears? Because he was attacked by a grizzly bear and he killed it. He successfully took down a grizzly bear. That was the myth that got him elected. Because he did this thing that was so incredibly badass that people voted for him.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and then prior to Theodore Roosevelt, there all of the stuffed animals were essentially baby dolls. Dolls of little babies, and they started making bears in honor of Theodore Roosevelt, and they called it the Teddy. Good story, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. that is hilarious. And
I don't know how it made it into this episode, but thank
God we don't have a president that an orange is named after or anything. So there's that. Any other thoughts on steampunks?
No, I'm trying to think of something clever that rhymes with Cheeto, and I just can't. I'm having a block right now.
Really? Really? I'm the one that has to fix this? Remember, kids, eating your Cheetos is very neato.
Bad. All right. Yeah. No. We're not gonna have any stuffed Cheetos named after presidents. So other steampunky things: the mustache twirling. The bad guys always got the long twirly mustache, which I thought was a perfect touch for Professor von Doofenshmirtz. Tying people to the railroad tracks was a very, kind of evil thing to do back in the early 1900s. I mean, everything, you know, they didn't so much have cars, so you had to tie someone to a train tracks.
Exactly.
And the use of a zootrope.
Yeah, the zootrope.
Oh, zootrope. I'm like, wait a minute, is that what the spinny thing is? The spinny thing is called a zootrope? So yeah, lots of interesting things going on. And then that culminates in a giant, I don't want to say a kaiju fight, because there was only one kaiju, but it was a giant mechanical swan versus a steam-powered combine.
I guess that would be. I don't know.
It was kind of neat. All right, you know, I'll take mechanical type kaiju, steam powered kaiju. Why not? But no, I really enjoyed it. It was they packed a lot of detail and kind of fun, anecdotes in here in 11 minutes. As I got to the end of this, I was thinking, is this a double episode? Because it seems like there's a lot going on. And no, it wasn't. It was just an 11-minute short.
It goes to show you folks how talented the writers on Phineas and Ferb are, how talented Dan and Swampy are to get all of this in 11 and a half, 12 minutes. You're right. This did kind of feel like a double episode. This felt like a long, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just stating it as a fact. It did feel a little bit longer than, let's say, the last episode with Imperfect Storm. Imperfect Storm felt like a normal 11-minute Phineas and Ferb episode. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We hit all the points. We hit all the references, we hit all the yes we do's and the no we don'ts and blah 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 blah. But steampunks did feel, and again, I think the reason why it felt longer is because you have Lawrence, you know, you have Ritz O'Brien as the voice of Lawrence Fletcher doing this whole thing of kind of like being quite literally Peter Falk in Princess Bride doing the narration as grandpa kind of thing.
Exactly. He's telling the story as the narrator, and it goes back and you have this parallel cast.
Yeah. So that's why it feels longer than it actually is.
Maybe. I'm not sure if that, I mean, there's just, like I said, there's a lot going on, and I liked it a lot. I'm a fan of steampunk. And I liked the parallel characters. I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot, and I would lean toward a 5, maybe a 4.5.
All right, you get a 4.5, unless you want a 5. But I wrote down 4.5.
Nobody farted in this one, so
okay, yeah, half point off for no farting.
Farting,
farts are worth half points, folks.
Oh, wait a minute, there was some foul language though. Foul spelled F-A-W-L, because he's a swan.
Because he's a swan.
All right, I'm swayed. I'm giving it a 5.
Okay, fine. I'm going to make him move a decimal and delete a number.
You're actually writing this down.
Well, I have to write the numbers down, so when we do the recap, we know what the hell we rated the damn things, of course. You've seen
these scripts. Oh, my God, we're doing a recap? Oh.
Ugh. Well, when we get to the end of the season.
Jeez.
Wow. He says it's too much work. I put everything in the script, folks. I send him the script. He doesn't do a damn thing. He watches the shit. That's all you got to do.
I haven't even written notes anymore. This is coming off the top of my head. So, you know, I used to write like 5 pages of notes, and I was too much like work, you know.
He's gotten lazy in his old age, folks.
So lazy. I'm so old.
That's right. So old. Oh, my God.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn, you stupid kids with your hipping and your hopping and your ticking and your talking. All right, folks, final episode of Day 96 here inside the Podcast Organization without a cool acronym. It is No Picnic.
Come on.
Come on, gang. Let's get started on building our Mega Mondel.
Ah, no can do, Tinnabelle. It's family day, and the Van Storms from the Low Countries are visiting. Buford's outie, G.
Well, that's a bummer, but we can come up with some workarounds. So if you two...
No can do, Phineas. I am taking an East Indian cooking class. We are going to make goat vindaloo. If we can ever find a goat. Oh, there is one now. Gotta run.
Well, good luck. Well, the plans will still work with just three of us.
I'm afraid your plans will have to wait until after Ferb's dental appointment. Come on, honey. Time to go.
All right.
Wow, I've never seen Ferb so nervous. Well, I guess it's just the two of us, huh? Isabella, are you all right?
Oh yeah. We could spend the day together. That would be fun. Whatever.
Let's see. With only two of us, we'd have to reallocate some weight in order to... Well, maybe if we just reduce the amount of... Nope, that won't fly either. You know, this is a lot harder without Ferb around.
But he never says anything.
It's not what he doesn't say. It's how he doesn't say it.
Isabella plans an impromptu picnic for Phineas when the rest of the gang have plans of their own. Meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz uses a teleport innator to send Vanessa to a movie marathon. Not exactly evil. He's trying to be a good dad.
Not evil. Well, it's funny because it's like he kind of starts off with this evil plan. And then, you know, Perry, he sees the connection and he's like, one, two, three, and then boom. You know,
I love that part.
Just like, wait a minute. I could do this. Yeah. It was a very Doofenshmirtz moment, let's say. To use his name as an adjective. Not evil, but, you know, just not, kind of a neat idea.
And again, I don't think that every scheme has to be him being evil. Like, that's what I like about at this point in season four. We've come so far with Doofenshmirtz. Yes, the general thing is, yes, he wants to take over the tri-state area. Yes, blah, 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 blah. Halftime doesn't work out for him. So with return policy, he's trying to return things. With this, he's trying to get his daughter to the movie marathon. So he's not exactly evil. Like, you know, you mentioned that you're not that big on the this person fights this person to the death kind of thing. And all I can think of is Doofenshmirtz as he is right now versus evil Gru before Gru went good in the original Despicable Me, when Gru was like, we are gonna blow up the moon and all, like, literally I want to
steal the moon, but yeah
okay, steal
technically. Steal. Is it more silly than evil? I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
that's my point. Is that Gru and Doofenshmirtz and Gru are kind of very similar in that fact when Gru was still evil before he went to the good side. And I still need to see Despicable Me 4. I haven't seen it yet.
I should have watched that on the plane. I didn't.
Yeah, you should have, and you didn't.
I watched Kung Fu Panda 4 instead.
I like Jack Black, but I don't like those movies.
Really? Oh, yeah, I'm a martial artist. I like them.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so it's no picnic. Again, just like return policy, I think the doof stuff is the best thing in here. The whole is it like, I like that everybody's going off and having their own things, and we leave Phineas and Isabella to try to figure something out, and with the two of them.
It's rather really... convoluted how they end up alone, but yes. Isabella is so happy that she actually, like, breaks a little.
Yes. She's like... She's literally doing what I do to wake up. Get it together, Isabella. Get it together, Isabella. Well, when I wake up...
You smack yourself? Wake up, smack.
Well, when I'm sitting here trying to, you know, start the shows and do the intros and do the recordings, before every recording, it's like, ow. Okay, let's go. Yeah. So there's
She's like absolutely vibrating. She's like,
yes. Yeah. Is literally vibrating. Absolutely.
Yeah. Only one way to get yourself out of that feedback loop.
Pretty much. Yep.
Yeah. You gotta smack yourself. There's a word for that. I forget what it is, but.
Elf arm? I don't know.
No. Flail?
Oh, flail. Yeah. Good old flailing. Yes.
Flagellation.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
No.
No, not that. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
If anybody knows, put it in the comments, I guess.
There you go, folks.
Yeah. Just let us know what that word is.
Yep.
I'm having a little brain dump here. But yeah, Isabella gets to go on an actual date, a picnic, if you will. And then it ends up being a picnic at the park, which is now a theme park that is picnic themed.
Yes.
It's very, I mean, yeah, the convolutions just kind of like wrap around themselves. It was very strange.
Yeah, again, why I say the Doofenshmirtz stuff is the best stuff in here, so.
And the reason why the Doofenshmirtz stuff is the best stuff is because it is at least half Vanessa. There's been a lot of Vanessa here. She shows up and she's like, oh, hi, I want to go to the movies. And he teleports her to the movies.
Yep.
He teleports her to a movie, not the movie she wants to see.
No, not the movie she wants to see.
Yeah.
But she has a newfound appreciation for Ducky Momo.
So should we all. I mean, and it was funny because she's introduced to Ducky Momo and by Candace, who's also in the audience watching, and she knows Candace, and she's like, oh, hey, you know, and they talk, they have a good time. They bond a little bit over Ducky Momo,
which is nice.
And at the end, I don't know if you watched the end credits, I actually had to turn off the next episode button while I was in Disney Plus. I had to go back, push it over to the credits so I could watch the end credit song, because it was not in the episode. It was actually punk version. It was the punk version of the Ducky Momo song sung by Vanessa and Candace. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. They called Punky Momo.
Punky Momo.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very interesting, very fun, very cool. So this episode, It's No Picnic. What are we giving It's No Picnic?
Wow. I really liked It's No Picnic. I don't know, man. What do you think? Like a 3.5 or?
Yeah, that's where I am. 3.5.
That's where you're at? I mean, yeah. I was introduced to Gavilta Flan. So, Gavilta Flan.
All I can think of for some odd reason, Gavilta fish is all I can think of. I don't know why.
Well, that's it. It's a Gavilta fish and flan. Oh. Have you ever had Gavilta fish?
Oh, that's not
mine. Don't. It's awful. It's vile. But flan, I like a good flan. I like flan. I just don't think fish and tres leches mix well. You know, it's like I can't imagine what that would have been like. And what was the other thing she said? She's like, it's my special recipe. It's what did she say?
Yeah, what did she say?
Oh, it was really clever. It was really clever. And I forget. It was criminy. I don't remember. Someone else is gonna have to remember for me and put it in the chat.
Yeah.
Why is my I have dogs in my backyard. All right. Big dogs landing on my face.
That where they're supposed to be? I don't know.
Oh, they only go in the backyard when they beg to go out. So they must have begged to go out.
There you go.
Another thing that we didn't talk about is, again, celebrity guest voices. Ariel Winter, again, Gretchen, which, you know, I'm not sure where she was at in her run in Modern Family at this time.
Oh, yeah, I have no clue.
She might have still been pretty young. Diamond White was probably pretty young at this time. And Diamond White was in Transformers.
Yep.
Rescue Bots.
Yes, she was.
Yeah. And they didn't let her sing this time. She actually sings very well.
Yes.
She's like grown up now, I think.
I mean, this episode was 10 years ago, so.
Yeah, I don't know what Diamond White's doing right now, but I remember her being very talented.
Absolutely. So 3.5 all around for It's No Picnic, and the disappointment on Isabella's face. Oh, Ferb, you're back. Like, uh-oh.
The Union Jack has returned.
Yes, exactly. So. We are going to go to a... Go ahead.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I was going to say, all the places that were listed in the teleportinator.
Oh, yeah.
All the places you could send somebody without actually having to rewire the whole thing is like, you know, the friend zone. You can send someone to the friend zone. I thought that was hilarious. Easter Island. Inside a goat. What if you were teleported inside a goat? I mean, would the goat explode? What would happen?
No, I don't want to know.
It says dungeon. Whose dungeon? Yeah. Is it his dungeon? Is it some other random dungeon? I don't know who Nikki is.
Yeah, exactly.
Nikki's office is there? Who's Nikki? I don't know.
Maybe it was Nikki Six.
Nikki Six's office. His pants are cool too.
Probably at this point, yeah.
Well, he's old too. Everybody's older now.
Of course they are. It's been a decade.
A Turkish prison? And how is a Turkish prison different from a dungeon? It's funny because there's two options. One is lair and the other is my lair. Harry got teleported to my lair at least twice.
Yep.
So, you know, it wasn't so random. Yeah. Crocodile nest, which would suck. Teleported to my pants. Oh, that's where the pennies went.
That's where the pennies went.
That's right. Where the pennies went.
Yep.
Yeah, I see the overlap here. See? Clever. Clever. Technically, you could go anywhere you want. Anywhere, really? Could you make that programmable so you just type where you want to go, hit the button, and it would send you there? Because we're talking like Star Trek here.
Yeah. Cool yeah, pretty much.
Be? Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Except the... I don't know. Reminds me of Spaceballs. I don't like using the tele. I always end up for President Scrooge ended up backwards.
That's right.
Yeah, no.
Nobody told me my ass was this big.
It's big, yeah. Exactly. You fat ass.
Snotty beamed me twice last night, and it was fantastic.
It was fantastic. That's right. And on Snotty's note, we are going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads, some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show, make a couple announcements, and all that other good stuff right after this.
Now I don't have enough money left to send Vanessa to the Grievance movie marathon she wants to see. They're playing all the Grievance movies in order. They've got the Grievance, they've got Grievance 2, The Gripe, Grievance 3, Bone to Pick, and Grievance 4, The Revenge of the Italian Jug Band. And I don't think that last one is canon. Oh, what kind of father am I? Oh, the shame is overwhelming. I can't even enjoy using my new teleportinator. I'm just not in the mood. Maybe tomorrow. And it was such a stellar plan, too. I was going to use it to send City Hall and consequently my brother Roger back to Drusselstein and out of his mayoral jurisdiction. No fuss, no muss, just bzz, and he's gone instantly. Ah, if only it were that easy to get Vanessa to the movie theater. Wait a second! I could just add another setting to my teleportinator and send Vanessa directly to the theater and completely bypass those ridiculously inflated movie ticket prices. Oh, man, am I good! That deserves a victory sip. Ugh! Wait, what is this, decaf? It's like you don't even know me!
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Welcome to the future, all you forward-thinking socialites. Delightful world of steam so bright, change your life overnight. Behold this lady's hairbrush, this motor-powered cow. If you don't know how this gizmo works, I'll try to show you how. It's robotic kitchens, prototypes, a singing kettle. You'll love this nut and turtle shell and made of living metal. You'll never need to settle for yesterday's future. We've borrowed from tomorrow, steam-powered, so super. Welcome to a brave new world.
My word,
the future is amazing, time for you to climb aboard. Welcome to a brand new day.
Hooray!
Everything will change, time for me to show the way.
Alright folks, we are back here on day 96 of summer. This is episode 96. Any final thoughts before I run through the closing, sir?
Buford has a very attractive family.
Yes, I guess so.
Bitter pollen. Know. Bitter pollen. I don't even want to know what that is.
I don't want to know what that is either.
Chocolate, my no. Peanut butter, Buford.
Oh, no. Was that this episode? No,
yeah.
It was. Was it? How did I miss that?
You got your bitter pollen in my Vindaloo. You got your Vindaloo in my bitter pollen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I wonder if these two great tastes will taste great together. He says, nah, we should kill this with fire. I laughed so hard. I like Vindaloo. I like chicken Vindaloo. But I don't have any clue what a bitter pollen is, and I can't imagine how it would make a Vindaloo any better.
Yeah, I can't either.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. What nationality do you think Van Stom is? You think that's a German? Austrian? Von Stom?
It's one of the two, probably.
I'm fairly certain. You know, I'm not a big fan of German food, so I can't imagine it being very tasty.
I don't know. I begin and end at German chocolate cake.
Ooh. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love German chocolate. But, you know, I don't think coconut is native to Germany. So I don't see how.
But just the texture, the feeling, the taste, and the it's the chocolate that's the German part, not the coconut.
Well, you know, it's chocolate.
Yeah.
It's a chocolate cake. To me, a German chocolate cake is defined by the frosting, which is coconut.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not native to Germany. You would not find coconut in Bitterballen. Maybe that's what it needs. Well, coconut in your Bitterballen.
I'm going to have to send this to my German friend, the Orcasaurus, and ask and have him listen to this.
Now I got to Google Bitterballen. I have no idea what
it is. Oh, God, don't.
Hold on, I'm going to ignore you for 10 minutes while I research Bitterballen. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, it's like hush puppies.
Oh, so it's potatoes.
That's a Dutch appetizer, fried meatballs with a creamy sauce. I'd eat that. That sounds good.
That's not that bitter at all.
I stand corrected. Well, what would make it better?
Not better, bitter.
Well, it's bitter. Not, it's a bitter, bitter ballen.
No, but if it's essentially hush puppies, are not bitter. They're not sweet either. But they're
puppies are delicious. But yeah, I mean, these,
they're just
this is
empty filling. Yeah,
a Dutch meat based snack.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there Dutch. Yeah, it just said.
Okay, now all I can think of is gold member.
Goldmember. This is gold.
Yes, the Dutch. I blame the Dutch for everything. Oh, boy. We don't blame the Dutch for everything, folks. It was just a movie.
It's a mix between a croquette and a meatball. Wow. Now I kind of want to try this. This sounds great.
Once again, you got to know what a crumpet is to understand croquet.
Croquet. That's different. But no, I you know, honestly, this I think it would be good with a vindaloo sauce. Little hush puppy meatball, meat puppy dipped in a vindaloo with some rice. Oh yeah. I can see this.
That poor dog.
And on that note.
Thank you for joining us here on Palco. There's always get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content, as well as checking out and buying stuff from the brand new GCRN store, shop.geekcastradio.com. We have mugs, we have shirts, we have hats so far. We have metal can covers. We've got sweatshirts, all kinds of cool stuff. We've got gamer desk mats. If you're into gaming and you want our logo as a desk mat for the new logo that we've had for the last couple of years. So yeah, go get some stuff for the holiday season, for your friends, for your family, for yourself, from our GCRN store. If you want to, you know, own a piece of our podcasting network here. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcasting platforms that you choose. For Apple, it's iTunes and Apple Music. For Android users, it's Spotify and other things as well. You can find us on Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for the network. Do you still use your Twitter, or are you completely done with the Musk?
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's I don't, you know, I shouldn't say that. I do read Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm not active on Twitter anymore, but I'm a Pecan CT Michael.
There you go. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka, and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb, which is the terrifying Tri-State Trilogy of Terror. It just needs some Terracons in there, and it would have been better. For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Econ Michael.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, oh yeah, and unleash the geek in you.
But wait, there's more!
This is a nice hat. I would buy this hat. This is cool. I think I'm gonna buy this hat.
There's not really any more. That's about it.